Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, August the 19th. It actually has turned into a beautiful afternoon here in North Texas after a couple of days of rain. They tell me the heat is back, so maybe the next time I do a podcast, I'll be complaining about the heat. But this is August. What can I tell you? Well, the big story, of course, is Afghanistan and what a mess the whole country is right now. You have to ask yourself, what is next? And that in itself is a very difficult question to answer. The latest that we know is that the U.S. Armed Forces or the soldiers who are there, the Special Forces or who whatever category they are, they're basically holding the airport, and there are planes leaving and landing. But the real challenge is, what about those people outside the airport, meaning the Americans who are not at the airport or the Americans who have no way of getting to the airport? That's a challenge. And so far, we don't really have a plan. The couple of military men who have been interviewed, the Secretary of Defense and the top military, well, not the Secretary of Defense, but yes, it is the Secretary of Defense. And General Milley, who is the top general at the moment, they're somewhat inconclusive as to what we can do. And I understand that. I'm not knocking these two men who serve their country, I'm sure, quite well. They've been put in an awful situation. I mean, it's an absolutely awful situation that President Biden has put the military and has put the country in. If you try to rescue these people who live outside of the airport, let's say if you try to do a rescue operation like, let's say, we did with Iran back in 1980. Now, that one didn't work out, we know, but at least the thinking was good of trying to rescue the hostages. Well, those were like 50 hostages, and they were all in one house or one place. I mean, now here in Afghanistan, we're talking about, well, they say thousands. I didn't realize there were that many Americans in Afghanistan, so I'm not sure if these were relatives or maybe spouses of Americans or children. You know, I honestly don't know. But it sure looks to me like that's a lot of Americans who are in Afghanistan and who are going to be stuck there if we don't do something or come up with some kind of a negotiation to get them through to the airport. You also have, and this is the most dangerous situation, you also have a lot of Afghans who have worked with the United States, who supported the United States over the years, whatever function or whatever role they played with the United States. Those people right now are in danger because, you know, as soon as the foreign press goes away, those people are going to be probably executed or imprisoned or whatever. So it's an absolutely awful situation that President Biden has put the country in. I was listening to a general this morning on the Hugh Hewitt show, and he was talking about options. I don't remember the gentleman's name right now, but he was talking about military options. And yes, you can go in. I mean, you could, for example, send in rescue missions and try to get as many Americans out as possible. But it would be quite an effort, considering that they're going to have to go through the Taliban, and they're spread out. I mean, like I said before, they're not in one building or one place. So it's I mean, all I can tell you is that President Biden has not done the country a service here by putting us in this situation. And in fact, I have a post this morning at the American Thinker where I draw a comparison between what we're watching in Afghanistan right now and the Bay of Pigs back in 1961. Now, the Bay of Pigs was obviously a much smaller operation. Cuba is a much smaller country. But in many ways, both of them were miserable failures, in large part because the President of the United States made the bad call. They didn't do the plan, and the people on the ground were put in a terrible situation of being captured, and then later on they were, you know, exchanged for agricultural equipment in the case of the Bay of Pigs or so on. But here in Afghanistan, as well as in the Bay of Pigs, you wouldn't need that much. In Afghanistan, what you needed was 2,500 soldiers staying there. had the Biden administration said, look, we don't have a deal yet, so we're just going to keep 2,500 soldiers here, and we're going to continue operations until we got a deal or until we have a plan. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. They went. They jumped too far into the getting out stage, and now we're not really out. In fact, we may end up with more troops in Afghanistan than we had before. In the Bay of Pigs, of course, all that was needed there was some air power, and that would have ended very quickly. But here we have put the military in such a difficult situation, we've put the country in such a difficult situation. I have no idea how this is going to get fixed. Now, a lot of people are saying that the United States is going to buy the Taliban and basically say, how much money do you need to let these Americans go through? And apparently that's what everybody's saying will happen. It may happen. It may happen. The United States may be forced to, in a sense, pay for the rescue of all of those people. Not so much pay for the rescue, but pay the Taliban so that these people can get through to the airport. Maybe so. Maybe that might work. Other people are saying we could activate that other airport that we closed. That could be. That could be another possibility. But there are no pretty options, because the biggest risk of all here is having hundreds, if not thousands, of hostages. Just think about it. You go in there with a military operation. You get into a fight with the Taliban. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to put Americans as hostages. And that will completely paralyze the United States, or paralyze any military operation. So this is bad. I mean, this situation that we're going through right now is horrible. It's bad. And frankly, I do not recall a situation like this in my lifetime. Now, the case of Vietnam, people are comparing it to Vietnam. But by the time Saigon fell at the end of April 1975, we had been out of that country for 2 years. We had been out of the country for 2 years. And so it was a little bit different situation there. But anyway, I mean, of course, they're calling it another Vietnam. I don't think it's quite that way. I don't think it's quite that way. But it is similar in the sense that in the case of South Vietnam, we stopped supporting the Army of South Vietnam, and that made it impossible for them to fight. And then in the case of the Afghan Army, the same thing. I mean, they were fighting. They lost over 60,000 soldiers, so they were fighting and dying for the country. But unfortunately, when you take the air power away, it took away a lot of their leverage. So it is an absolutely horrific situation in Afghanistan. I have no idea how this is going to end up, but I would not be surprised if it ends up even worse than it is right now, simply because of the possibility of hostages. And that would be very scary. We're going to take a little break and be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. One more thing about Afghanistan. It's really hard to understand how we got into this mess. It really is. And I have no idea what they were thinking at the White House. I think I know. I think the military did tell President Biden to keep a force. And I'm assuming some of the analysts did the same thing and some of the political advisors. But President Biden, for whatever reason, did not take their advice. And here we are. I mean, this is completely on President Biden. I just hope it works out. I just hope it works out. It works out without hostages or without any casualties. But man, that's a tough thing to imagine. Well, President Biden was speaking yesterday. He gave a little chat about the COVID, and he's talking about this booster that I guess it's going to be offered to all of us, another vaccine, I guess, that we're going to be taking. You know, I don't know how many of these vaccines we're supposed to take. I mean, we're going to get to a point where it's like every 3 months we're going to have another vaccine. I mean, you really begin to wonder, what's the point of so many vaccines? You've had a lot of people now who've gotten COVID despite the fact that they have a vaccine. So it's getting confusing. I'm not a doctor, and I am vaccinated, But it is getting confusing, all these booster shots and all that stuff being talked about. But, of course, the big story of that presentation by President Biden is that he wouldn't take any questions on Afghanistan. And then he got into this stupid war with Republican governors over school mandates or school mask mandates. And, you know, he's saying getting out of the way and all of that. Frankly, I think that's a big distraction on the part of President Biden. So he's not talking about Afghanistan. Look, the rules in Texas are very simple. You decide whether or not you want to wear a mandate or not, a mask. You decide. And that's it. If the parent wants to put a mask on their kids, they can do it. If a business wants to put a sign on the door saying, we need to have a mask, you can do it. I mean, basically, it's up to you. You decide whether or not to have a mask, and that's the way it should be. But I think that President Biden is looking for something else to talk about, and that's why he's attacking Governor DeSantis of Florida, Governor Abbott of Texas, and I thought that Governor Abbott responded very well. He said, why don't you enforce immigration laws? You know, why don't you take care of the Taliban and don't waste your time trying to tell us how to run our schools? I thought that was a very good response by Governor Abbott, who, by the way, was found positive on COVID. He's resting at the moment. He's doing okay by all indications. He was also vaccinated, and he got COVID. So sometimes you wonder about all these vaccines. I mean, especially if you're not a technical person and you say, well, gee, I got vaccinated, now I have COVID. Gee, I mean, what's going on? I mean, people are confused. I think that's part of the problem. Well, I have a post coming out Friday morning about the famous Durham report. This is that famous report that started under President Trump. And as President Trump's term was ending, Attorney General Barr gave Mr. Durham special counsel consideration so that he couldn't be fired by President Biden. Well, it appears that he's working on something, that he's got something that he's working on. And it could be very interesting. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. But I do think for a man to spend so much time working on something that I hope he's got something. I mean, if he comes out with a report that says, you know, we've looked at everything and no big deal, and, you know, just a lot of bad judgment on the part of people. I mean, if that's what he comes up with, I think there's going to be outrage. I don't think, though, by the way, to be honest with you, I don't think that that's what he's going to say. I have a feeling that there are going to be some serious indictments out of that Durham report. It's just that it takes time. People need to be patient. And I've been patient with it. I have not been complaining about it. But it's frustrating because you know some people did something wrong and you would like to see those people prosecuted. So we'll see. We'll wait for Mr. Durham, who I believe is supposed to be in the latter stages of his report, whatever that means. That could be 6 months. That could be a year. But at least he's in the latter stages of his report. Well, a couple of things on this day in history. On this day in 1934, Hitler became president of Germany. Hitler became president of Germany on this day. You know, a lot of people forget about that he was actually elected president of Germany. A lot of people forget that particular part of the story. I did for a long time. I didn't realize that he had been elected president of Germany, and he became the president of Germany in 1934. Now, I don't know if it was a clean election or a transparent election. That part I don't know. But he was officially, inaugurated as president of Germany. And on this day in 1964, this is one of those little historical notes, the Beatles began their tour of the United States on this day in 1964. They actually started in San Francisco. They had been on the Ed Sullivan Show before, and they had done some visits in the East Coast. But their official tour started in San Francisco on this day, and they traveled all across the country, ended up one more time on the Ed Sullivan Show. But here's the interesting thing. Their first American concert, or their first tour, was in San Francisco, started in San Francisco. Their last one ended in San Francisco, and Candlestick Park turned out to be the place where their first tour concert and their last tour concert. Little trivia for you the next time you're talking about the Beatles. Have a great day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.